Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. We are so glad that you are here. My name is Parkhopper John. Joining me, as always, is the lovable, huggable Mr. Tony Castelnova. He is Disney by the Numbers, and we are here to talk about all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney parks across the planet, and we're going to have a good time. We got a lot of great news that we're going to talk about today, but before we get started, I want to talk about some of our great sponsors. If you go to DisneyParksPodcast.com, you will see in the sidebar a banner ad for MagicYourBands.com. Let's just say that you get your Magic Bands, and it's that gray, kind of dull color, and you're not really happy about it, and you really would like to change it. Or let's just say that you're tired of your, like mine, my yellow Magic Band. I'd like to kind of plus a little bit, do something really cool with it. Well, MagicYourBands.com has some amazing designs that you can order and you can stick right on your Magic Bands. They're great. Yep. They have some designs that are amazing, but you can even design your own Magic Band. Maybe you want to personalize it, put your name on it. And there is a place that you can get your own custom Magic Band in Disney parks, but it's expensive. And that's just one Magic Band.
But what if you really want to have you can't put your own design on it, which, you know.
Yeah.
You can't Magic Band, put your kid face on it if you wanted to.
Yeah. You cannot do that with a custom Magic Band. But with MagicBands.com, you can put whatever you want to within, you know, reason. You know, you put that on your Magic Bands. And the good people over at MagicBands.com have given our listeners a 10% off coupon if you use Disney Parks Podcast, all one word, at checkout. So you can not only get really cool design Magic Band stuff that you can put on your Magic Band, stickers that you can put on your Magic Band, which is more than stickers, really.
Yeah.
But you can also save 10% off your order by using DisneyParksPodcast.com.
Right. Yep. I like to call them skins.
Skins, that's right. Skin. Yep. And they not only have stuff for Magic Bands, they got skins for all sorts of different things you can find out there. And really, really plus up your Magic Band with this amazing skin from MagicYourBands.com. And here's the thing. If you go to Disney Parks Podcast and click on that image there, that takes you to their website. What that does is it tells them that you came from our site. And they, in turn, help us out, which keeps the show free, which keeps us on the air. And that's one of the things that they've done to help us and help you in the process. So thank you guys over at MagicYourBands.com. And definitely check that out. Disney Parks Podcast at checkout, 10% off.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. The other piece of housekeeping that I'd like to talk about before we get into it is our big meetup happening in December at Disney Club. Yeah, I was in line on Saturday at the Rock and Roller Coaster and got a really good view of the entrance to the building.
Oh, yeah.
It fit right in. Looks just like all the other buildings. It's kind of got that double green on green. You know,
I think that's seafoam green.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
So they've got that there, but we're going to do a meetup. Opening day, December 5th, from 2 until 4, we're going to go hang out at Disney Club. We're going to listen to all the DJs and hang out with some characters, and we're going to do a little meet and greet there. We're going to hang out, enjoy some of their liquid and food offerings. I don't know if it's going to be alcoholic or not, but hey, we're going to have a good time doing it. Yeah. So from 2 to 4 on December 5th, we want to make sure that you come to Disney's Hollywood Studios. walk back like you're going to the Rock and Roller Coaster. Keep going through the wall until you get to Disney Club. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And don't forget to get your copy of Disney by the Numbers at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. And just the other day, we spoke about this last week, stickers.
Yes.
But we now have this, batons.
The baton. The and baton. The sticker.
So if anybody who is watching would like to send me their address, I will send you one or the other. So if you email DisneyParksPodcast.com, gmail.com, and tell me if you want a sticker or a baton, I will put one of those in the mail to you. If you want to buy them, we have a shop set up on the store. I think they're like $1, $1.50, I think, plus the cost of shipping them, mailing them. You can buy some for your friends and family as well. So you can go to DisneyParksPodcast.com. Up at the top right, there's a shop, and then you can get one or the other. If you're listening to this and you missed us, that's why you have to come to the Blab, because you can get
you have to email us at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail with your address.
Podcast@gmail. Yep. And we also want to remind you, if you go to the website, please sign up for the newsletter. We have lots of good stuff. I got to get together a Rafflecopter prize package. I got stuff I need to get rid of.
Wow.
I got kites. I got stickers. I got buttons. I got that princess box thing I won. I got it. I got stuff I got to give. Maybe I'll give away a book too. I got stuff I got to get rid of. I got to get rid of the stuff off my kitchen table. It's starting to drive me nuts. So enough of that. Let's start with Thanksgiving is coming up. I can't believe it.
Literally.
Right around the corner. It's a slippery slope to Christmas once you get past the Thanksgiving Day parade and sitting at home and watching football and eating.
Thanksgiving Day. But once they wrapped up the last performance of Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, it was Christmas.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I know the Osborne Lights. I saw some video already. People put up their Osborne Lights videos. So that's pretty crazy. So that it's fun. I got to get over there now. Anyway, if you are going to be in the parks, let's give you some places that you can eat on Thanksgiving. So if you're at Epcot, there will be some places that will have some special menus for the holidays. And I can never say this first one. Asker's, the place in Norway.
Askerhus? Akershus.
The Royal Banquet
Hall. I had to read
it.
I was on that window. Akershus. Akershus.
Also over at Biergarten. I'd like to see Biergarten serve like turkey and mashed. Have some turkey. The Coral Reef, Le Cellier Steakhouse. Restaurant Marrakesh, another interesting place to have Thanksgiving, I would think. Rose and Crown Pub and Dining Room. The Sunshine Seasons. Over at the studios, you got the 50s Primetime Cafe, Hollywood and Vine, the Hollywood Brown Derby, and Animal Kingdom, you have Tusker House. So no Thanksgiving stuff in the Magic Kingdom. You just get regular food over
Regular food that's normally served, or is Liberty Square still Liberty Green and still down for refurb?
It might be open for Thanksgiving. I think they were supposed to open for Thanksgiving, so that may happen. I would double check on that.
Right.
If you're staying at a resort and you want to eat at one of your resorts, you got. Let's see. Artist Point will have a special menu. Whispering Canyon, Boatwright's Dining Hall, California Grill, Chef Mickey's, The Wave, Cape May Cafe, Captain's Grill, The Yachtsman Steakhouse, Citrico's, Narcosi's, Victorian Albert's, The End Zone Food Court at Disney All-Star Sports, The Flying Fish, Trattatore Al Forno, Mickey's Backyard Thanksgiving Feast, and Trails End Restaurant over at the campgrounds, Gico, The Cooking Place. Kona Cafe, Olivia's Cafe, Sanaa, Shutters, and the Turf Club all will be serving some sort of Thanksgiving meal. If you have not, now is your chance to make your reservation at 407-WDW-DINE. And you're probably going to wind up with a late seating, is my guess. A lot of the good places are probably gone.
Yeah. But, you know, anywhere you can get on for Thanksgiving dinner, you don't have to cook or clean, I think would be a lot of fun.
So go check it out. I will not be going to the California Grill this year.
What? So
first time in 5 years. I will be going to Diane's house, I think, for Thanksgiving this year. I hope she's got a good meal.
Oh, I've not gotten invited to Diane's house, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think we're going to.
I'm sure she
I think will. We're going to a wedding on Saturday. So we're going to go to Atlanta, but I think we're going to go to a wedding on Saturday. So that leaves us Thanksgiving open. So I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So Walt Disney Animation Studios has announced a cast of voice talent that will be bringing the animal residents of Zootopia to life. And Disney says, we had so much fun casting the film. Zootopia features such a large and diverse range of characters, one of the biggest casts ever for a Disney animated film. Disney says we needed talented actors who could help bring these animals to life. Joining the previously announced actors are Jennifer Goodwin, who plays Bunny Officer Judy Hopps. so cute. Jason Bateman is con artist Nick Wilde. I believe he's the fox that everybody's looking at. Shakira plays Gazelle or Giselle. Idris Elba, who is everywhere these days, plays Tough Cape Buffalo Chief Bongo. J.K. Simmons as Mayor Leodore Lionheart. Jenny Slate is Assistant Mayor Bellwether, who is a sheep. Tommy Chong is playing Yaks the Yak. Octavia Spencer, Bonnie Hunt, Don Lake. Alan Tudyk, one of my favorite actors from Firefly. Tommy Tiny Lister is in this. They've dug up Tommy Lister. I can't believe that. Raymond Percy, Katie Lowe's, Jesse Cordy, John DiMaggio is also rounding out the cast. We will have this over on the blog so you can see who's playing what. And then Zootopia opens in theaters on March 4th, 2016.
That's a huge cast.
Yeah, it's ginormous. And, you know, this one's kind of flown under the radar for me. I don't know a lot about it. It looks interesting. It looks fascinating. I'm sure it'll be a great movie. I love the fact that we get, you know, like Jennifer Goodwin in a role. And anything that J.K. Simmons is in, I'm down with. I love Idris Elba. Love, love, love him. Anything he's in, I'm a
Tommy
big
Chong.
Fan of.
Well, come on.
Yeah, Tommy Chong. I mean, come on, seriously.
As a Yak the Yeti. Yak the Yak.
Yeah, Yak's the Yak.
Hey, man, pass the grass.
Hey, man. This is all natural. This is all natural
it's grass. Real grass.
Oh, all it needs is Cheech Marin. It'd be a perfect movie of Cheech Marin.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have some new menu items over at ESPN Club at the Boardwalk. And, you know, I think a lot of the news we're doing this week is food related for some strange reason.
Oh, that and I'm hungry.
Okay. So there's a couple new appetizers. You have what they're calling bar flats. It's the ESPN version of a flatbread with caramelized onion, bacon, beer cheese, fondue, tuna tartare, traditional marguerite, or you can get a Mediterranean. So those are all the kinds of different flatbreads.
Mm.
Club fries, which are chunky steak fries topped with ESPN chili, cheddar and ale fondue, crumbled blue cheese, marinated tomatoes, and crispy pancetta with green onions.
Mm.
So plenty to share.
Yeah.
You have pan-fried potato and cheese pierogi.
Yes.
Topped with herb-infused sour cream and caramelized onions. I'm noticing a theme here with potatoes and onions.
Yeah. No comment.
Crispy fried Florida pink shrimp with Cajun remoulade, sherry aioli, and grilled lemon.
Nice.
Next up, you have the ESPN House Chili with diced onions, shredded cheddar, smoked bacon, pico de gallo, and grilled cornbread. And last but not least, clam chowder with chopped bacon, herb oil, and seasoned oyster crackers. And they make their own oyster crackers there. I don't know if everybody knows that. Yeah, they make their own. Ask for the oyster crackers if you ever order the soup, and just ask for a lot of them because they're really, really tasty. So some new entrees they have are a turkey carver sandwich with roasted turkey breast, smoked gouda, maple aioli, tomato, and bitter greens. Next up, you have the seafood mac and cheese made with seasonal seafood and citrus gremolata. Sustainable catch with market vegetables. A hand-breaded chicken breast sandwich with pepper jack cheese, tomato, and lettuce bun. You have a petite top sirloin and grilled langostinos with house-made mac and cheese, Cabernet butter, and market vegetables. Next is a craft beer batter, fish and chips with Cajun tartar sauce, and fries, or a cucumber salad. I've had the cucumber salad. You can pass on that.
Yeah.
Get the fries.
Yeah. Well, they might have changed it.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Coffee brined barbecued spiced pork chop with fried potato hash and pickled vegetables. Then you have the grilled black tiger shrimp with andouille sausage, gumbo-style risotto, braised kale, and another piece of grilled cornbread. Then you have your bourbon ale braised beef short rib with potato and roasted garlic gratin, watercress, pan gravy, and market vegetables.
I'm dying over here.
Next, you have the pan roasted chicken breast with parmesan risotto, lemony chicken, au jus, and market vegetables. And then, last but not least, second to the last but not least,
right?
The last meat item, at least. Sausage three ways.
Yeah,
bratwurst, peppers, and onions on a pretzel roll. Kielbasa and a smoked bacon cabbage on a club roll. And then the andouille sausage with pickled vegetables on a poppy seed roll. And the last item is, if you don't want any meat, they're just calling it vegetarian unplugged, and you're just going to get a plate of vegetables.
Yeah, we're going to toss some carrots your way.
Yeah, been there, done that. That's what California Grill calls their vegetarian or their vegan plate. It's the vegan unplug or the vegetarian unplug. It's the chef's choice. They didn't put any prices out on these things, so I'm not sure of the pricing on any of these items.
Right.
So I think this menu went into effect immediately. So if you're heading out to ESPN, give this a shot and let us know, because I'd be interested. Some of these things sound pretty interesting.
Yeah, the last sentence in the press release I thought was really good. ESPN Club has an impressive craft beer list. That apparently I did not know. Over 54 varieties, including a seasonal menu that boasts beers exclusively from Florida. It's also the only restaurant in Disney World Resort to pair each entree with a craft beer. So the flavor of the brew perfectly accompanies the main course. I think that ESPN Zone has stepped up their game in a big way. And I might have, you know, kind of laughed at the idea of going there like a destination restaurant. Yeah. I am not so sure now. The food looks incredibly tasty, and I'm dying. And if the reaction in the chat room is any, we're all hungry. Let's all go to ESPN Zone, guys. Let's go.
I wish they would take reservations, because there's one place on the board where the boardwalk that does not right now.
Oh, wow.
Take reservations. And, you know, and on those days when, you know, they have, you know, lockdown, you know, you can say you're going there, but then they say, well, you have to have a reservation. Then you say, well, they'll take reservations. And they're like, how do we know you're going there? And you're going to have to say, well, it's my word.
Right.
You know, so I don't know.
Right.
So they took reservations to make things easier.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've already talked about Disney Club taking place in this new multi-use building. The next announcement for that same building is an all-new Club Villain at Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. So you, Guests can get ready for a whole new way to enjoy Disney's Hollywood Studios at Club Villain, a special ticketed event in Sunshine Showcase, say that 10 times fast, adjacent to Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, with fabulous performances, delicious food, bewitching cocktails, and enchanting encounters with some of Disney's greatest villains. The first Club Villain will take place January 16th, with reservations now open, when the mysterious Dr. Facilier is your host for the evening, welcoming guests and his friends from the other side to the parlor of mystical mishaps with musical numbers and a wicked mix from his house DJ. Also stopping by to socialize are those divas of evil, Maleficent, Queen of Hearts, Cruella DeVil, and the Evil Queen. Club Villain provides a spellbinding evening to enjoy fiendish concoctions from the Potions Bar, savory culinary delights from New Orleans and beyond. Meet with villains and dance the night away. Club Villain takes place on select evenings for $99 per person. Tax and gratuity are included. Reservations are recommended and can be made up to 90 days in advance online or by calling 407-939-3463. A separate ticket for admission to Disney's Hollywood Studios is required.
Right. I don't know. Would you try it?
Maybe. Yeah.
What time does it? They don't say what time it starts and what time it ends.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, is there a cover charge for girls? Someone in the chat room is asking. Yes, $99 per person, male or female. I think this would be fun. If it was a little less expensive, I think I would be more apt to try it out. I'm less inclined to do this. I don't really get off on hanging out with the Disney villains. I mean, they're great. They're fascinating characters. They have great interactions in the movies and throughout the parks. It's just not my thing. You know, if they were doing something with like I hate to say this, and please don't be offended if I include your character, like B-level characters, you know, like it's Stitch and Tarzan Day, and I would be all over that kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't think it always needs to be villains. I think it should just be a character experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mix it up, you know, like have one time like all the old timey characters,
right?
You know, or have a time where they're, you know, maybe in their throwback costumes, you know, something from, you know, 20 years ago. I'm sure Disney still has them in an archive somewhere, they can whip them out,
right?
Or, you know, Pixar characters or whatever. I don't think it always has to be villains. And if you had a Pixar thing like that, I'd be there. I'd pay the $99 in a heartbeat.
Of course you would, for that off chance to just bump into Buzz Lightyear.
Not bump into. Definitely dance. Bump into. Yeah.
Dance with him.
Get my camera.
Awkward.
Buzz Lightbeer and a beer.
I think this is a nice way to get away from the entire park experience. Remember, they had like the Villains Unleashed last year.
Sure.
And I think that was nominally successful, but I think that, you know, overall taking over the park might have been a little overkill.
Yeah.
For what you get.
Yeah. Well, it includes a meal. So, you know, you're not just getting the experience, you're getting a meal on top of it. Right.
Getting food. Yeah. It is something about a meal. I don't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't anticipate a meal. I'd anticipate
okay.
You know, finger foods and stuff like that. Would it be? Is it worth it to me? I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll give it a whirl sometime. Maybe not this event. I'm sure they're going to have tons of really cool
iterations
events.
Of this.
Yeah, they'll, you know, when the movies come out, you know, surely they'll do something for Star Wars. If it was a Star Wars thing, I would jump on it.
Yeah. Well, it will be for Star Wars weekends.
Yeah.
That's the reason for this building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good because A, it's inside. B, you know, they can, you know, that's the reason for this building. They can do different things inside this building. And I think this is, you know, round one, ding, ding. And this is what, you know, what they've come up with. Club Disney and Club Villain. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. So I was on the hunt for the Mickey icon silverware, and your wife sent me a text message, John.
Yep.
That I don't know where she saw it, but she said there's 21 in Epcot, 21 sets. I said, oh, great. So I didn't go to any park. I pulled out my Shop Parks app,
mm-hmm.
And I went and ordered it. What's today? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday? Monday? I ordered it Monday. It's being shipped and it's on its way.
Awesome.
It'll actually be delivered on Wednesday.
That's great.
And believe it or not, I signed in with my Disney experience and it recognized I was a pass holder and gave me my discount.
Get out.
I was like, it said discount. I'm trying to figure out discount from what? And I'm looking at him going, wait a minute. That's like my pass holder discount.
That's amazing.
So it knew I was a pass holder and it had my address from my pass holder information, gave me my discount, knocked away the shipping, and it's being shipped to my house. And I was like, wait a minute, that was way too easy. So I have to say, for a pass holder or a local, that was kind of fun. Now, I found this story that they now have new delivery options and free shipping for a limited time. So maybe I fell into this free shipping thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. So the free shop Disney Parks mobile app, this is Android and iPhone. They're not discriminating.
You application racist.
Allows you to search, locate, and purchase thousands of merchandise items offered in Disney-operated retail stores at Walt Disney World Resort only right now. So today, well, this was the other day, was an exciting day where they're making some new announcements. The free shipping limited time offer is now through November 22nd on all Shop Disney Parks standard ground home delivery purchases.
Nice.
So if you shop now until November 22nd, they will ship it to your house for free. So if you're in the you need something, get it now. Good time to do some Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. Now, they have some new delivery options. So once the app is updated on this release, guests visiting Walt Disney World Resort can choose a resort hotel delivery, a gate pickup delivery, or a home delivery. So if you're in the park and you see something, you can scan that barcode, pull it up in the app, and then you'll have the choice of picking it up at the park gate, having it sent to your hotel, or having it shipped to your home. I mean, yeah,
we got to test that one.
I think we should. So if you choose resort delivery on purchases, you need to have a current Disney reservation linked to My Disney Experience. A resort delivery is a delivery option for guests until 3 o'clock p.m. each day, and then items will be ready for pickup at your resort the following day at noon. And I think that applies to even if you purchase something in the store. If you're choosing a park gate pickup as a delivery option, you need to physically be present at a theme park, and the item must be available for purchase in that park. Park gate pickup orders are ready for retrieval at park package pickup locations 3 hours after purchase. So I think it's going to use your GPS location and say, hey, Mr. Casanova, we know you're really at home. You can't go pick this up at, you know, a park gate. You have to actually physically be in a park.
Right.
Now, Disneyland Resort Diamond Celebration products are select products that were created for the Disneyland Diamond Celebration, and they will soon be available via the Shop Disney Parks additional products from Disneyland Resort and may be added at a future date.
Nice.
So if you're looking for some Disneyland merch and you're not going to get out to the West Coast, you may have a chance to pick up some stuff. So like I said, this is for iPhone and Android, and I thought it was simple as pie to order them. I mean, I did a search, flatware, boom. I was done in seconds because it pulled in all my information, which was fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
If only they could get Magic Bands to work that smoothly.
They do for everybody but you, John.
That's not true. You know it. You know that's not true.
I've had my fair share of entertainment with them.
Yeah, that's great. But it was really funny. I mean, you say that, yes, the process worked. But before, you were told that they didn't have any available. And we talked about it last week, and you said that they were going out of stock. And that's why Sarah and I bought a set of the same.
Oh, okay.
And we bought the serving set in case they were going away.
Yeah, I have the serving ones. I already have a set of this flatware. It's just that I don't know why. In my move, I lost some pieces. Right. And I do need some extra when, you know, I have people come over. The other interesting thing, what was I going to say with this app? Oh, you can, if you are looking for something, you can search for something, and then it'll show you on a map all of the locations in Walt Disney World that have that item too.
Right.
So, you know, if you're at Epcot and you're looking for that silverware and you don't see it in Epcot, you can say, show me on a map, and it'll show you all the locations,
right,
the resorts, the hotels, Disney Springs, all that stuff, all on the map, which was good too.
There is one limitation, and I'm not sure if it necessarily applies here, but there is one thing that we were talking about with the cast member who is kind of explaining why they thought that the system was not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was your specific, but we were talking to her, and what was funny was, do you know those metal Mickey shaped, Mickey head shaped, you know, like not trivets, I guess trivets,
yeah,
you know, like you put a hot pot down on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is part of a certain series of
line of stuff,
a certain line of stuff. Yeah. And so she was trying to find this in the kitchen store inside of Hollywood Studios.
Mm.
And I noticed her walking all over the store, and she had this thing, and she was just looking all over. I said, ma'am, is there, may I help you? And she's like, I should know where this stuff is. And I'm like, well, do you work here all the time? She's like, no, I work in the World of Disney store. They've got me over here today. Uh-huh. And this is a line that really should all be together, and it's not. And I said, well, it's right over there on the back wall. She's like, oh, that's great. It shouldn't be there. And so all that being said, then Sarah comes up and says, well, they have the silverware here that Tony was looking for. And they said they have like 11 sets in the back, and then there's a whole bunch of sets elsewhere. And the cast member that we were standing there talking to said, you know, that happens a lot. And what's funny is she picked up a cup, and it was a cup that had Tinkerbell on it.
Right.
And she said, a lot of times we'll type in, you know, Tinkerbell, coffee mug, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And the wording on the item in their system doesn't say anything about Tinkerbell. All it says is little green dress.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes the search parameters within their system is kind of weird because they, you know, they've got so many different Tinkerbell coffee mugs.
Right.
You know, that it doesn't work that way. So just when you're doing your searches, just be very aware of, you know, that some of the search terms that you're using make sense to you, might not necessarily make sense to what the item is in their in their system. Again, it's one of those things where it makes 100% sense to you, and 100 degrees opposite is what Disney's doing. So be aware.
Yeah, I agree, because even on the Disney Store site, you know, you would think if you would search, for Buzz Lightyear, you would find all the things with Buzz Lightyear. But meanwhile, in that search, things that don't have Buzz on them come up, and you're like, I didn't search for that. Yeah, so I get that.
Hmm.
I guess that's what you get for farming that out to college kids.
Well, interns, guys. That's what happens.
Interns drinking on a Friday night.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
All right, so I thought we'd do a little infotainment since we didn't have a lot of news. I found this. I dug this up on the Disneyland Paris press site that we recently got access to, and I thought some of this stuff was interesting. So these were listed under fun facts of Disneyland.
It's so. Fun facts with Disney. Yeah. Jazz fingers.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
That's a long story. Actually, I got a good jazz hand story.
Does it take place in the does it?
Yeah, it doesn't take much to get us off. We were, it was, who was it? It was like me, Susan, and a bunch of other people. And we were in the Magic Kingdom. We were going over to Adventure. I was going, it's the land of adventure. I was using my jazz hands, the land of adventure. Jazz hands. All right. So I thought maybe you'll do one. I'll do one. We kind of go back and forth down this list.
Oh.
All right. So fun facts about Disneyland Paris.
Fun facts.
All right. So here's fact number one.
Fact number one.
There is one thing a Sleeping Beauty castle has in common with all other Disney castles.
No running water.
It faces north to south to prevent the backlighting for guests who wish to photograph it from Main Street.
Yes.
That is correct.
That is
correct. That's correct for 500 points, please.
Thanks, Alex. I'd like to take other fun facts for 1,000, please. Sleeping Beauty Castle is also the only Disney castle in the world with its own dragon sequestered in the La Tanière du Dragon beneath the castle. This is the largest audio animatronic figure, 79 feet long, 5,500 pounds in American, by the way, at Disneyland Paris. This dragon was designed to resemble the real dragons of European folklore rather than the animated dragons of Disney movies. And this dragon rocks. It moves, it growls, it lifts up its head. It's really a cool animatronic if you ever get a chance to see it.
How come their big dragon works and our Yeti doesn't?
Because this dragon is like 3 feet off the ground and its head lifts up and goes back down. They can stop it from moving and fix it really easily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. The largest number of audio animatronics figures in a Disneyland park attraction is 28, and it's in a small world. Hmm. There are also 247 animated props and 48 animated toys in this attraction.
Wow. That's crazy.
I think that has – I have to go look. I should go look at my Disney by the numbers, but I think that beats ours. It's a small world.
Walt Disney –
I'll do some digging.
Okay. Walt Disney loved the miniatures. And I do too. Those little candies that you get at Halloween, they're awesome.
Trick or treat.
Disney loved them so much and also had miniatures created for practical use in planning films and theme parks. And that is reflected in the elaborate miniature setting of La Paix des Contes de Fées. Aside from Disneyland Paris, only Disneyland in California features a version of this attraction. The version in France is larger and features more scenes. And what we call it in Disneyland is Storybook Land. I watch Once Upon a Time too much. Storybook Land, canal boats.
Interesting.
If I'm correct.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. There are 580,000 bricks in Main Street, USA, laid out in a pattern similar to New York City at the turn of the 20th century.
Right.
So that's very cool that they mimicked that in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah. You know what they don't have on Main Street, USA?
An emporium?
An American flag.
They're not in America?
True. But it's supposedly Main Street, USA. They have 225,000 light bulbs that illuminate the Main Street USA facades. And when they do come on, it is beautiful.
Are we talking about like the rim lights? Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are talking about the rim lights.
Hey, watch it.
Yeah, back off, buddy. It's a family PG show. It's a family show.
Right. While a few of the tenants' names appear on the upstairs windows of Main Street USA, are comical puns. Many of the windows pay tribute to real individuals who contributed to the concept and development of Disneyland Paris. That's very cool. Walt Disney and his brother Roy are credited as founders and partners on one window. Imagineering executive Marty Sklar, whose Disney career began when he published a Main Street newspaper for guests in the original Disneyland, is listed as a newspaper editor. Mm. And the names of the original Imagineer ring show producers for the lands of Disneyland Paris are listed under title Dentist in Training, a license to use laughing gas.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that's very cool that they gave. So I wonder then, I have Jeff Heinbeck's book, but I wonder who's got a window besides Walt and Roy, obviously, in every park. Maybe Marty does. Maybe somebody like Bob Kerr does.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to check into that. I don't even know if Michael Eisner's got a window in Paris. We had such limited time when we were there. We didn't go window to window.
I went to the Disney by the Numbers library. This is a good book if you're looking for a book on windows.
And the name of that book is?
The name of the book is Main Street Windows. It's a complete guide to Disney's whimsical tributes by Jeff Heinbeck. And it includes all of the parks, not just U.S.-based parks.
Oh, wow.
He has a few on Tokyo. But he has to go back and do some more research there. But it's a good book if you want to see all of the windows and find out, you know, what they all mean.
Oh, yeah, that's a great book. It's a good book. Good recommendation. Yeah. Right. Disneyland Paris's attraction, Space Mountain Mission 2, which is De la Terre à la Lune, was the first roller coaster attraction in the world to integrate a synchronized onboard audio system. The idea, developed by Walt Disney Imagineering, has since been used on roller coasters, including the Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, in Disney theme parks around the world.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. One of the five versions of Space Mountain at Disneyland theme parks, Space Mountain Mission 2, launched on April 9th, 2009 at Disneyland Paris. It is the fastest. It's the only one to include inversions, turning riders upside down in loops and corkscrews. Michael Giacchone is the composer for the music, The Incredibles and the American television series, Alas.
Or Alias.
Alias, sorry. I'm trying to talk in French now. Was chosen to create the music track which accompanies passengers on their journey.
Nice.
Now, you said you didn't get to go on this because it was
down for rehab. Yeah. So I got to go to Disneyland Paris a couple years ago. And the only ride, and I mean the only ride I really wanted to ride, was Space Mountain Mission 2, down for refurb.
Yeah, that's thanks.
But I got to ride some of the other amazing rides out there. Totally worth the trip. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to get some more specs on that. I'd like to know, you know, like length of track and things like that. Maybe I'll have to.
It's also the only roller coaster that Disney has that has the it goes outside as far as Space Mountains go. Mm. It goes outside of the ride. It's actually a launching coaster.
Okay.
It's very similar to a ride at a theme park down the road that may or may not be a Marvel property that's green.
Do you start outside and then go inside?
I think you start out inside and roll around, then you launch, and then you're inside the ride.
Yeah. Okay.
If the people that were telling me how it works really knew what they're talking about.
Right.
And they have an Autopia there in Discoveryland. The cars in Autopia travel up to 2,000 kilometers per day.
I have no idea what that is in feet, miles, inches.
I think it's...
I have no idea.
Yeah, we'd have to look that up.
Yeah. That's interesting. Four different versions of Big Thunder Mountain exist in four different parks worldwide. Paris, California, Florida, and Tokyo. The version at Disneyland Paris is the fastest, tallest, and longest of them all.
Yeah, that's a great ride out there.
We are, you know, have the blessing of size, and once again, we got the shorter end of the stick.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril was the first roller coaster in a Disney theme park to feature an inversion. The attraction premiered July 30th, 1992, and from April 2000 to November of 2004, the attraction was temporarily reversed to become Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril backwards.
Wow. I wonder why they did that.
That would be, well, theme parks around the world do that. I remember Atlanta, we have the great Scream Machine mm-hmm. in Atlanta. They would go backwards periodically, and it's a completely different experience. You're leaning back going up a hill. Just imagine you're leaning forward going up a hill backwards, and then when you crest it, you're falling into infinity. It's very much exactly what happens in the first part of the Yeti ride, Journey to the Forbidden Mountain. You're just riding backwards, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
All right. Yeah. The limousine at the entrance to the Studio Tram Tour behind the Magic at Walt Disney Studios is the actual limousine used by Cruella de Vil, Glenn Close, in the movie 102 Dalmatians.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting.
So, you know, they have two parks over at Disneyland Paris. They have Disneyland Paris mm-hmm. Park, and then they have the Walt Disney Studios Park.
Yeah,
wow. And then they have their Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith there. So the trains in the Rock and Roller Coaster version in Paris, they're called soundtrackers. And each soundtracker plays a different Aerosmith soundtrack during the journey. And the other thing that's unique about this ride is, and I was talking about it the other day, our ride, we're riding stretch limos, right?
Yeah.
We're going to the Forum. In Disneyland Paris, I almost didn't get on the roller coaster because it's the storyline is Aerosmith has been contacted to create and design their own roller coaster. And my first thought is, who the hell is going to let Joe Perry and Steven Tyler and the boys design a roller coaster? And
not me.
Yeah, and so the cars, they don't look like stretch limos. They really look like...
Who would let Jimmy Fallon design a roller coaster?
Luckily, he's not designing a roller coaster, but there would be a lot of falls. Oh, ba-doom! Anyway, so the ride vehicles, actually, they look like... They literally look like the test vehicles, mm-hmm. Like test track. Not test track, our ride, but like... They look like boxes on wheels. Right. It's really crazy. Okay, signs and false fronts in the front lot and back lot areas of Walt Disney Studios Park include references not only to Hollywood productions, but also classic French motion pictures and famous lines of dialogue from other French motion pictures. I studied Spanish in high school. There is no way I'm touching that one. But I will say this, the signage and the language barrier is nowhere near as bad as you would think it is. In fact, our Turtle Talk with Crush that we have at Epcot, they have the same experience, except it's not Turtle Talk, but it's an encounter with Stitch. Mm-hmm. And they actually have list of times. They have them in English and French. And I want to say they have them in German. And I think they might have them in Spanish, which would be weird to hear.
So they do those shows at a different time in a different mm-hmm. language?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so like 1 and 4 in French and 2 and 5 are in English and 3 and 6 would be Spanish. And it's really interesting.
Yeah. So the unusual 3-tiered hedge landscaping around the Art of Disney Animation is a tribute to Disney's animation use of the multi-plane camera system to achieve an unprecedented illustration of depth in animated motion pictures.
Right. I did not pick up on that.
Yeah. I guess if you don't know why,
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting design. Yeah, it's interesting design. It's pretty to look at, but I would not necessarily pick up on that unless I was told that, which there's tons of that stuff here.
Sure.
We have all sorts of different things, like the names of the windows. Yeah. Are those people, and why are they named that? You know, why is Frank Wells, you know, why is Frank Wells' name, and what, yeah, why is his thing talking about mountain climbing? You know, why, yeah, you know, you would know that unless you were told that.
Yeah.
You know, because he's passionate about mountain climbing and all that good
and
stuff.
That's how he died.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. So, yeah, you're big into numbers. So here's some numbers for, yeah, you. There are approximately 15,000 cast members working at Disneyland Paris that include 100 different nationalities and 500 different job disciplines. The average age among Disney cast members is 35. And wow, the average cast member has served for longer than 8 years.
Wow.
There's a lot of reasons behind that. And not all of them are because of the magic of Disney.
Yeah.
So, France is not the most economically awesome place in the world. And then we've got,
I bet that age is double what it is here.
Oh, I would totally agree with you on that.
I bet ours is more like 24.
Yep.
Yep. You know, there are a lot of college people here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
On November 15th, 2011, Disneyland Paris welcomed its 250 millionth guest
since its opening.
Yeah. In 1992. Wow. That's a lot of people.
For a park that, or for a resort area that never really had a lot of, I mean, it had a lot of things against it when it first opened. I remember, and they're still not out of the woods necessarily. You know, maybe our buddy Lon can speak to that at some point in the future. But
all right, so I think that's it for this week's show. Let's get into the show. As always, go visit us at DisneyParksPodcast.com. And if you want to email us at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. And you can share us with a friend. That would be great. Rate us and review us over on iTunes. And as we say right here, we'll see you in the parks. Suits us so well. All the fun that we've had makes it good to be bad.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.